Thank you for tuning in. My name is Nella, and welcome to my podcast, Ethereality.
Thank you so much, Janice, for being here. I'm super excited to dive in and explore your near-death experience. Why don't you go ahead and start from the beginning?
Definitely. Well, thank you for having me here. It's such an honor to get to share this story. It had a profound impact in my life. When I had my near-death experience, I was going through a bottom, like the worst emotional bottom that you can imagine. I had been a long time on again, off again user of a specific drug. I would get like periods of time clean and then kind of fall again. I wanted to be clean, but there was just like always this ache in me to change the way that I felt, and specifically with substances and, well, even actually people. And so this particular night, I had went over to the person that I called my boyfriend, and he was a friend, I guess you could say. He was a boyfriend to a degree. I had also been seeing a couple as well. She was a great confidant of mine. I had left her house and then went to his. There was a lot happening in my life on a personal level, like a lot of trauma. There had been a domestic violence issue with another family member a few weeks before this. And so I've been under a lot of distress. I go over there and I proceed to start getting high. And he actually made the comment. He said, you know what? You don't need any of this. You're like way too amped up. And this drug is a stimulant. So he was like, you need to just chill out. I'm like, yeah, you don't know. I am fine. I'm not even on my level and hadn't gotten high in a few weeks. And anyway, he says, well, here, have some of this. And he blows marijuana smoke like in my face. That's not the drug that I used. I got annoyed. And he's like, you really do need to calm down. I was like, you know what? Just give me a hit. So he shotguns it. He blows one hit into my mouth. I inhale and exhale. And when I exhaled, it was like, I mean, all hell broke loose. Like I immediately started experiencing something that I've never experienced. My throat started constricting. I began to asphyxiate, I guess. I was choking to death. It was like my throat was closing up so fast. I tried to get a drink. I turn around. We're already in the kitchen. I try to get a drink of water that made it horribly worse. I think in my panicking state, I was thinking if I could just clear my airway, but it was like the feeling of choking to death on food, but I wasn't eating anything.
So was that your first time experiencing like a marijuana high?
No. I mean, when I was younger, like 14, 15, I had experimented. It just wasn't my thing. I didn't like to be slow. I liked to be up really fast, really high. And so, yeah, it just immediately went from that to I suddenly became aware of all of my bodily functions. At this point, I'm laying down on the couch. I can tell I'm either having a heart attack or I'm having some kind of allergic reaction to the mixture of the methamphetamines and the marijuana.
Maybe if there is something in the marijuana?
That's what I believe. I believe it had fentanyl in it.
Something like that.
Honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, because it wasn't 3 minutes. As this process happened, like the whole process was very, very brief. So I'm feeling like I'm consciously aware of every function and happening in my body. Everything is shutting down. It was like a chemical reaction within my body that my body couldn't handle. Okay, so I'm laying there on his recliner and I'm starting to feel my body shutting down, but I'm feeling like the sensation of my spirit, like pulling out of my physical body, and it's pulling out, and I'm almost like I want to reach for it, right, and like keep it with me, and it just floats and it goes up to the ceiling in the corner of his apartment. And also while this is happening, I am crying out to God. I'd always believed in God, and I'm crying out and I'm like, please God, no, don't let me die like this, like please, you know, don't let my children find out this is what I do on their weekends with their dad. The sensation of my spirit having left my body was brief. it's in the corner of the room. And I realized like how powerless I am to stop this from happening. Then I suddenly can see myself from my own perspective. And I'm looking down like at my chest and realizing like my lungs are not inhaling. My heart's not beating. And I'm feeling also like the blood and the life force in me draining downward through my feet. But it's like my brain is still awake. So the body is expiring. The body is dying. And I am consciously aware of this and crying out, you know, God, please save me. Please save me. The lights were going out. But I was aware, though, for the first time in my life, really, truly understanding how intricate my body was to be functioning and then no longer functioning and how little control I actually had over it. I closed my eyes here and then immediately am in another location when I open my eyes again. This location is a round room. I cannot see any windows or doors. And to describe it as a round room, we think of walls. It wasn't like a wall. It was like this living place where I was. The color was so beautiful, and we don't have a color like this here on Earth. I like to paint, and I've tried to paint it. So I'm going to try to describe it. It is like this very light grayish lavender color, and it moves because it's like a living thing. And when it moves, it's like it shimmers every color of the rainbow. And so it's this almost like an opal. It's like it's breathing.
Undulating.
Yes, that's the word. To my left, there's three very tall beings. I'm 5'2". So I mean, when I say tall, they're at least 7 foot. They're standing there looking at me. One is extending its hand. And to me, these look like angels. So they're about 7 feet. They have a human-like form, but I can see completely through them. And they're a bluish color. And very beautiful, very powerful looking, but no features like what we have, no discernible facial features like you and I have. And one extends his hand to me and I'm like, no, I am still in panic mode. I'm so terrified that I'm going to die, yet believing that death is an option, that it's possible for me to return to life, even from this state of being. I want to kind of take a moment and just really describe the atmosphere of this place.
Yes.
Yeah. If I had to describe how we are on Earth, I would say we're almost sleeping, but in this atmosphere and in this place, which I call heaven, we are truly alive. We are not just thinking. Everything that we're thinking is actually broadcast for everyone to know. And it's so beautiful. And it's so crystal clear, any thought that I have. And it's at this point, I say, thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice on the cross. I had always been a believer, but never really fit in with that whole crowd. In fact, had like went on this spiritual pilgrimage to all these different denominations, trying to figure out where's the real message, where's the love. And in front of me, the huge presence of a spirit, and it is emanating just pure love into me, like an electricity, like an electric power that was not hurting me or electrocuting me, but instead it was just infusing with me this love. That's what prompted me to say, thank you, Jesus, because I knew this was so powerful. Those angelic beings are over on my left, and then it's directly in front of me, and it's huge, huge. Picture standing in front of a large cloud. You would be able to see through the cloud, but you would see how large it was as well. Okay?
Yes.
That's where the love's coming from.
Okay.
And for me, I somehow immediately thought, this is the Father. This is God. And so I'm saying, please. Please let me go back. Let me go back for my baby. Please let me go back to my children. At the time, my children were 19, 16, and 4. My 19-year-old was already finished with school and had her own place. My 16-year-old at the time was having a season of living with his dad after being with me, and he wanted to spend more time with his dad. And I was like, they're okay. But then my four-year-old, I knew she would not remember me. And I was so grieved by this. And that was all I could think about, was coming back to finish my mothering. So I'm begging to come back to Earth. And I was being very dramatic because this was very serious, and I am dramatic in the first place. And so I'm like, please, 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 please. And this presence, his presence is so calm. I'm feeling so much love, but also I just methed my way here at the same time, you know, but there's no condemnation, but I just knew, like, okay, you know, that's not cool, and no condemnation. And then and just in a moment, it's like we're suddenly transported into another location. And oh, I have to tell you that I'm not speaking orally, like with my mouth. These are just thoughts that are flying out. Okay. So this is just like soul bearing, like thoughts just coming to my mind. Like the thank you, Jesus, for the sacrifice cross. Please let me go back for Kate. Please let me go. It's happening so fast, like nanoseconds. It's not slow like it is here.
Here, I often experience intrusive thoughts, or when I'm trying to lay down and meditate or something, it's just like, oh, monkey mind, lots of thoughts. So I feel like it would probably be similar to that experience, although it wouldn't be as private.
Right. And the opposite, instead of intrusive thoughts coming into you, your sphere, these are going out.
Right.
So the next place that we are is this beautiful sunny day, and the Father is on my right, and I am just looking out, and it's like we're standing on a platform. I'm looking out, and there's all of these people in the audience just standing there and waiting. They're no one that I know. These people were like a lot living people just here on Earth, was how I knew it to be. I understood it in just that moment. And everyone was standing so close together. No one had any room to hardly move. Everyone was just standing together with their shoulders like sandwiched in, people so close that their shoulders were touching. They're just looking at me. I'm like, what do I do? What? You know, because I was like, yeah.
And
yeah.
Then?
And so he says, like, really calmly, love them.
Oh, that's easy.
That's exactly what I thought.
Thanks for making it simple.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
And then I said, okay, but what am I going to say?
And then we try to complicate. And then we try to complicate everything, yes, with our, yes, analytical mind.
We do. We do. But I knew that I was supposed to be telling them what was happening in this experience, right? And I said, well, what do I tell them? What do I say? And he says the truth. I was like, okay. Oh, okay.
Sometimes, you know, that's not as easy.
No, because in my mind, I'm thinking about like right then how I got here. Mm-hmm. And he's thinking about like the truth, period, all the time. And so that's interesting how that's affected me as I've come back and walk on this earth and have absolutely no filter now. So anyway, and then I said, okay, well, what do you need me to change? And his response was so calming. It was, he said, nothing. But I knew like I was changing, like every second that I'm here, I was changing. And I knew that he was also telling me like I wasn't capable of changing myself, nor was I allowed to change the details of the story. Yeah, that truth thing again. And so he says, I'm looking at everybody. They're just looking up at me. And so the final question I have is like, okay, but where am I going to learn everything I'm supposed to say? And his response was, it's already inside of you. And I was like, me?
I yes. love that so much.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we're back in the first environment again in the lavender room. And that is the point where he pulls me into his spirit and I'm up inside him, and I look at my hand and I can see through my hand. And it's like, I'm having this moment where I can see through my hand, but also see the cells within my hand. And with this came this knowledge that I was a spirit, a soul, and a body, right? And that I'm literally being held together by him.
I love that, because I often say that if God is in all things, and if God is love, then ultimately we are made up of God. We are made up of love on a level that I believe is deeper than cellular. Like it's that space that holds the electrons.
The space between, right? There's a song that says that. That's kind of what I think of. And the space between, you know, all of those atoms, I guess. And you know what? I wasn't the only one there. I wasn't the only one inside him. I saw all of these other people inside him as well. And they weren't aware of it. They were literally doing day-to-day things. It was like I looked all around and they're just living their life, but they're actually in him living their life. If we can just imagine a moment of quantum physics being shown to me, that if we said E equals MC squared, like he's the E, and he's holding us all together, and we're all one in him, and we comprise his body, we each get this honorable opportunity to allow him to live through us. And we don't realize it always. We don't always know. You know, what I'm thinking about right now is how the love that he felt towards me, he was feeling, and it was for everyone. It wasn't specific to just Janice. I get to experience it and know it, but it wasn't specific to me. There was not something that made me more valuable in any way or more qualified in any way. It just was, and I had this experience, and others have not yet had their experiences, right? And so I'm seeing all of this in such a molecular way.
A multidimensional way.
Yes, that's the verbiage. And I do have so much I want to share, but I don't have the words for it. Our words are so limited and finite. This experience was so thorough that even the things that happened to me in my life, they were coming to my remembrance, but they made sense. And they were some horrendous things that I experienced, you know, in childhood, especially in life. But it was like here in this place, it still made sense, even though it was tragic.
There's purpose in the suffering.
There is purpose in the suffering. I really had like a victim mentality before this experience. I mean, I think a lot of us do. We don't mean to. Most people that are alive have had some stuff, you know, happen. And it hurts, and it doesn't stop hurting a lot of times. It still stays in the cells within our body and in our subconscious. And it was like, it just made sense. And so therefore, like, because it was making sense, then I had compassion for all of the other people involved. And I could see them in their just not knowing better, you know, looked at it. It was such a different perspective. This is how I'll try to explain it. It's as though we look like we're separate, right? And we feel like there's distance between you and I as we're on this Zoom call. But the reality is, like, when I put my hand out, like I was connected to other people, and then I could pull it away, but we were still one. And so this understanding that the way that I treated myself, I was treating the whole group. And the way I treated another person, I was also treating the whole group and myself. And so if I loved myself, I was loving the whole group. And if I loved another person, I was loving the whole group and myself. And then it was honoring to him to do this thing, just like he said, love them. And likewise, without condemnation, I understood that if I did something harmful to me, it was harmful to the collective, and vice versa.
I think you explained that beautifully.
Thanks.
Duality is an illusion.
And we think that the things that we do that are so insignificant don't have any kind of bearing. So say I give you a flower. We think, oh, it's no big deal. I just gave her a flower. But the reality is it has such a broader impact than we could ever imagine. not even on a conscious level. It just creates that atmosphere and how if we can walk in that way, walk in love, then the atmosphere here would mirror the atmosphere there on earth as it is in heaven, right?
If you're getting any value out of this podcast, please hit that like button and subscribe. Also, if you've enjoyed my content before, or maybe you're new here, but you like it, drop a comment and let me know you're here. I would love to get to know my audience. Thank you for listening, and let's get back to the content.
And that's the point where I went back to my body, and I just remember it was like a smack back in, and then I inhaled the biggest breath I think I've ever taken. I was alive. And that's what I began saying is I'm alive. And I remember that in that moment, I realized that the answer to everything was love, and that Jesus really is real, but it's not what I was shown here. It wasn't about this thing that happens way in the future when someone passes away or whatever. It was that the kingdom was within, and that we could jump in and be co-creating, co-laboring with him like every moment of every day. And if we allowed ourselves to be calm and to be still, he would flow through us. And that is what was being shared with us. And somehow, although so many beautiful things have come from it and continue to, and I have been the beneficiary of great things from churches, the external activities are not necessarily causing the inner freedom, right? And that's what it was about. It was about freedom, that no matter what we were going through or no matter what happened, we were accessing and in access, and it was about total freedom and not being yoked to anything at all that wasn't for us. You know, there's this fire that began in my belly and went upward to my whole being and all spread out. And I was shaking like a leaf and sweating. and I thought I was speaking English. And I'm like, the answer is love. Jesus is real. All the stories are true. And he said, well, he didn't say anything at first. His eyes were just big as saucers. And and he told me later that I wasn't speaking English. I thought I was speaking English. But then since that time, I have this other language that I speak in. And I don't even understand it. And it's so beautiful. But when I don't know what to pray, that's how I pray. And, you know, you were talking about meditating. That immediately takes me into a meditative state and allows me to experience heaven right here.
That experience of heaven, the kingdom, yes, within, as you said.
Yes.
I got really excited when you said that, because I'm currently reading a book called The Kingdom Within, about like a deep dive into the psychology, the practical information of what Jesus had said. The access to heaven on earth is to go within.
Right.
And Jesus said so much about this. And this book is amazing. And it's funny too, because I just edited a podcast episode with Jules. If you haven't heard her story yet, you need to go listen to it. She was telling me about her near-death experience. And her story is very different from any near-death experience I have ever heard. Her access to her near-death experience was from within. Like a lot of people like you had left your body and went up, but she fell into herself, deep within herself. And she experienced all of these things that were hidden in her shadow self. And then it was from there that she transported through the portal within into becoming the cosmos. So she didn't leave her body. She entered through a portal in her heart to the cosmos. There's more than one way to access this, I believe. And I feel like from this book that I'm reading right now, and then for you to be telling me the same thing that I've been working on all week, and the book that I've been immersing myself into, is The Kingdom is Within.
It is. And here's what I want to say. that love that I was being infused with, and it was just radiating at me. And then when I was pulled into his spirit, it was, yeah, like a blood infusion, but a love infusion. And then that, when I returned, it hasn't went away. When we access that, when we are able to do that, I believe that all other manner of things that we do seeking pleasure will cease. I was seeking pleasure. That's why I used. That's why I had the issues that I had. I needed an escape because what I felt like on the inside didn't feel good. And now what I'm living from a state of bliss at all times, right? This perfect bliss that therefore the behaviors just changed. Why would I do that with all its counterfeit stuff when I feel this, you know? We want that like absolutely orgasmic bliss that transcends anything we'll ever experience here, but we can experience it here. So I'm interested in that book. I'll have to read it. I'll have to check it out.
I would love it if you read it. Yeah. And then okay. I could talk to you about it.
Yeah. And then what happens is from this place, all good things flow, right? So what started happening was after I had this experience, I was in love with people from such a pure standpoint that I found myself giving everything away. I found myself no longer interested in the status quo, like going to the office on Monday morning. I got let go. I got fired like 30 days after my experience. I couldn't pretend to care about the stuff that was so superficial. And it was just a distraction. All I wanted was to be able to share my experience and love people. Like, this is how it flowed through me. Through another person, it might be different, right? But for me, it looked like I wanted to paint everything I had seen and give paintings to everyone I knew. I was writing poetry. I was baking cookies and taking it to people that I saw on the road. And I was ministering to people and praying with people. I wanted nothing to do with the worldly stuff. I just wanted to be in cocooned in this experience and in this feeling that was still very present and is still very present. And that's the flow. And if the whole world had this experience, all productivity would probably stop if it wasn't in the name of love, because we wouldn't feel that it mattered. You know, when I got fired, it was from a great, great job, you know, and I was making a great income. But then it was just like I would go and sit at work and just daydream, and like nothing mattered. There was no self anymore. There was no self.
I believe that there is no experience that's good or bad, really. Who knows what's good or bad, right? That's actually a principle that I live by. Getting fired from a job where you make a really good income, you know, it's your livelihood, that could probably have been perceived as a bad thing happening. However, you being in your state of bliss, did that have an impact on you, positive or negative?
No.
Don't care.
Like, sweet. Okay. Let me just pack my stuff up, get off. You know, I expected it. So at this point, since this experience, what happened was it made me so clearly be able to hear the voice of God through audible, as well as a knowing, as well as other signs. Okay. So I knew I was going to get fired. I had these visions and dreams. Like, I knew what was going to happen before it happened in my life. And so I was completely okay with it. I was prepared. They said, Janice, we need to talk to you. And I was like, I know you do. They said, it's not working out. And I said, you're right. It's not. So subsequently, you know, it led to another season where I was able to just totally immerse myself in art and reading the word from the spirit, right? Not from the flesh, not from the carnal person, but the spirit, and to be able to understand what scripture meant. And it was so romantic, but it was all spiritual, not in the natural. I was able to discern and understand and interpret things that would have evaded me before. And so I just basically lived for a year in this bubble, and everyone I knew said, she's crazy. She's gone crazy. Yeah.
At that point, did you have a, you know, like a higher vision for what you wanted to do with your life?
I wanted to be so in the flow of the Holy Spirit, that whatever in that moment I felt an unction to do, I had the freedom to do. It looked like different things in each season. Okay. So the very next season, after I spent about 10 months in that apartment, just studying and learning and having so much fun, and I would do things like go for a walk and then end up spending an hour talking to someone that was watering their lawn and just having these deep, beautiful conversations. But I ended up living in a state park as a park hostess, a volunteer in a little camper. That was the purpose for that season, and meeting people from all over the country that would come to the state park. They would camp. And I met so many people who also had near-death experiences. And I was like getting a foundation. Everything of the world had been pulled out. And now it was my foundations were being built in this beautiful and holy way. And here's the thing, there was so much inner peace. I had never had that before. That next season was being immersed in nature. During this time, you know, the poetry and the photography and things like that were just bubbling up, you know, like a brook.
I can definitely relate to that, because the most peace that I've ever experienced in my life was when I was living in the natural flow of life. I went on a 6-month road trip and I was living out of my minivan with my cat. It was kind of the same thing, you know, all I really wanted to do was to understand what it meant to be like water. You know, water, it either flows or settles depending on the terrain. Is there, if there's a reservoir or if it's a rocky hillside, you know, but either way, it does not contend. You know, this is a very Taoist approach and perspective, but embracing that is ultimately what led me to all these connections and all these experiences and this like level of bliss where, you know, you release control, like you allow yourself to surrender to the flow yes. of life. And in doing so, it yes. cultivated this beautiful atmosphere of experience. And without that, without that experience, I wouldn't be who I am today.
That's so beautiful. There were times when I was in that park. So it was down by a river and it was so hot outside that I could take a shower. I hung up a garden hose on the back of the camper and could just get in my swimsuit and shower outside because there wouldn't be campers there all the time. And it was just like, yeah, you're talking about this ultimate freedom where there's no restraint. There's no super tight, rigid schedule. And that's still how I prefer to be.
Same.
And it's like, oh, I have to integrate back. If I'm being honest, it's a very slow process to reintegrate.
What I've come to understand, having had that experience before launching my podcast, was that was me embracing the feminine approach to life, which is more free flowing. You know, there's comes in waves with the waves of inspiration and the natural flow of things, that flexibility, you know, and then there's the masculine approach to life, which is also just as necessary. And so when I started to launch my podcast, I got a lot of like messages from the other side being like, okay, this is now time to step into that masculinity, you know, the structure and the consistency and the persistence, experiencing at that point the more masculine side of things. And so it's really interesting to have been able to experience all that feminine flow of things and then to step heavily into the masculine flow of things, having both of those experiences and those pictures creates the balance and understanding that we need to integrate both of these pictures into our experience.
That's beautifully put. Thank you for that. I feel like that will help me in the coming days because it's been a very gradual process of reintegration and I can do it for short periods. I'm just being frank. 3 to 6 months is about the max before I'm ready to step back into that free flow state again. Here's what's so neat about this is that the things that changed in my life, they changed and they stayed changed. And so like the freedom, the inner peace, it all stayed. It is hard on our being to stay in that ultra, as you call it, masculine place for an extended period of time. And I don't just mean hard for us, me and you. I think of it like this, like the little school children, you know, they're expected to be in school for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, sitting there, being quiet, told not to move, be still, do your classwork. And I just wonder, like, is that what our sweet Father wants for us? Isn't that the very definition of religion, to be bound, to be oppressed? Like, isn't that the structure of the system that he came upon the earth to set us free from, right? It's this balance. And if I'm being honest, my minimalism is loud. So it's not that I want to work to have things and stuff, right? Because I don't. I would rather work like 3 days a week, just do what has to be handled, and then just be able to go out and serve and do, you know, and be. The purpose and my purpose is to love others, right? That's what he told me to do. And it's actually all of our purpose. Hallelujah. So how do we do that? And while I know the Holy Spirit can like lead us, even when we have that more structured day-to-day, I just feel it flow so much more when it's not like that.
Yeah, I do not believe that we are designed to sit in front of a computer for 9 hours a day, or for children mm-hmm. to try to sit still in a classroom for 8 hours or however many hours that is. None of that. No, we are not designed to be mm-hmm. that way. And if we were, we would be experiencing a sense of fulfillment collectively.
Boom. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but we're experiencing so much resistance, and it's when we resist that we experience that struggle. To cultivate an opportunity for yourself to experience that free flow, allowing yourself to let go of control, to follow whatever is expansive at the time, is something that I feel like everyone should experience. But it's so difficult in our society today.
I know. It doesn't look very pretty.
But like, it's not impossible.
It's not impossible.
You know, and I want to encourage everyone who is maybe in a situation in which they have an opportunity or a unique circumstance that can allow them to experience that kind of flow, a life like that, even if it's just for a short period of time. Mine was only 6 months. You know, yours was a couple of years, you know. If you're afraid of taking that step because of the uncertainty, it's in the uncertainty that you discover that fulfillment, and that the obstacles that you are presented with are obstacles that your soul needs, and to perceive every obstacle as an opportunity to learn and to grow and to step into that free flowing, let go of control. I believe every person would benefit so much from that. Like you said, like if we all just had this experience, this near-death experience, then we would just love each other. We would put down the guns, you know, like it's a big dream.
It's a big dream. But it's a good dream.
The more of us that come together and have these conversations, the more people come to them to listen, you know, the more hearts that we make an impact on, I feel like collectively we can shift things. We are shifting things. Mm-hmm. And just the answer is to love, just to love one another.
Yes, absolutely.
I love that. And to love yourself. And I think that's what comes from that period of the free flow, you know, what comes out of that experience is a connection and a relationship with yourself. And like you said, when you were on the other side, the way that you treated yourself is how you treated the collective. The way you treated them is how you treated yourself. So if you can cultivate like a self-love, that I think is like the key, like the first approach to how, you know, you're going to get there is to cultivate that relationship, that inner relationship, the kingdom within.
Yes. One of the things that I noticed, my inner dialogue has changed so much. When you talk about loving yourself, what I immediately start thinking is, how often do we say something negative about ourselves? And the power in our words to bring that to fruition. So just that opportunity to begin to speak blessings over yourself. It's just time. It's honestly what I keep feeling is it's just time for this. One of the things that I did was I got like my life coaching certificate during all of this and really felt like that's where I would be able to have that outlet to pour into others. I will tell you, I do have a lot of divine appointments at work. People will, for whatever, it just starts to come out and we start flowing together at work. It's something that is so precious that when it happens, I'm very grateful, but I'd prefer it all day, every day. I ended up going into a ministry working with trafficked and exploited women. That was amazing. And then I went into the addiction space for a very short period of time. You know, it has to be the right thing. It's not sustainable for an extended period of time. And so just staying in step with the spirit is so important.
Well, and that also changes too, according to what experiences we need to develop.
Absolutely.
That moment, it was the right thing for that time that was going to get you to the next point.
Yes.
That was
yes.
also the right thing at that time.
Yes. That's so beautiful. Yes. So some things that are different, like I don't have an inner clock as far as what time of the day it is, nor like what day of the week it is, nor what month. Okay.
Well, because all that's associated with time. And on the other side, time is a perpetual unfolding of now. It's a past, present, and future all simultaneously existing. So there is no sense of what is
it's
time.
It's not real.
It's not real. It's a construct of this dimension.
I have no concept of money though. Like, so, you know, when you go to the grocery store, right, you'll be grocery shopping. You just kind of know like what you're spending.
I don't.
It's always a big surprise to me when I get up there. Yeah. I get up there and I'm like, what? Hold on, where did we get 300 from? Let me go through. Yeah, lots of different things like that changed.
I imagine that after having such a profound experience, you have sort of a mission statement. If there was one takeaway that you would want somebody to get out of listening to your story, what would that be?
Love them. Definitely love them. So simple. So simple. For me, it looks like being patient and kind and gentle and generous and thoughtful, and also being firm when necessary and honest.
Yes, we honesty is important.
Yeah. Being honest when you see someone doing something that's going to hurt them, tell them that's dangerous. I don't want you to hurt yourself. I was never able to do that before. I would just go along to get along no matter what. And I've seen a lot of my friends depart this plane since my experience from the very same things. And so each time that happens, you know, I get bolder and bolder about this issue. It's just all comes back down to, you know, loving them enough to say something. Do I love them enough to say something about what they're doing being dangerous, or do I care more about pleasing them in that moment? And likewise, when I love someone, I just tell them I love them. I don't wait for a special moment or tomorrow. I say it right then.
Thank you so much for taking time to share your story with us today.
Yes, thank you for having me, and I love you.
I love you. Thank you so much for listening to my podcast. If you loved this episode, please consider leaving a review.
If you're listening on YouTube, don't forget to hit that like button and subscribe so we don't lose each other. And just share the link with somebody who can appreciate this message.
Blessings to you all, and I hope to catch you on my next episode.